Good evening.
Good evening.
This morning we started talking about discoveries and how wonderful all of the discoveries that has been made and some of the wonderful discoveries that has been made by man. And then we started talking this morning about the three great spiritual discoveries. We noticed the first discovery was man's discovery of himself. And we used the prodigal son to give us an illustration of one who lost himself, and the Bible says he came to himself. He came to know his condition, his situation, and ultimately he did something about it. And we tried to show that when people are lost and they're in that condition, they're in that state where they are estranged from God, that you cannot help them unless they discover this for themselves. At some point, they have to come to that realization. They have to come and know their present condition in order for them to do something about it. And so anyone who's going to be pleasing unto God, if he does not discover himself in his life, he's going to have a problem. Needs to discover himself. He needs to find himself and understand his condition. Secondly, as we look at two more, man's discovery is not only of himself, but is of his Savior. Look at John chapter 1, and we'll notice verse number 41. John 1, verse number 41, how does it read, Brother Craig?
He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah.
So hold it there. John says, we have found the Messiah. Brother Andrew. Andrew says, we have found the Messiah. The discovery of self is one thing, and that is certainly needed. But it is another discovery that one must make, and that is he must, while in this life, discover his Savior. Many people discover themselves. They realize their condition. They realize that something is missing, something is amiss. But then they go seeking for help in all the wrong places. But if man truly is going to overcome his situation in this life, overcome his sinful condition, he not only must come to realize it for himself that he's in that condition, but he must seek a power outside of himself, and that power is Christ Jesus. Andrew and John had made the discovery of the ages. We found the Messiah, he says. Literally, we found the Christ, the anointed one, foretold of the prophets and long expected by our fathers. He was pointed out to us by the prophet John. We have seen him. We have communed with him, and we are sure that he is that illustrious person that we read of, that we know about, that we've been anticipating and looking forward to. Imagine being there at that time, in that time, and the long-awaited Messiah is the one you discover. What a privilege that must have been. The one who discovers the Savior discovers life's greatest need. And that's what they discovered. They discovered exactly what they needed. And everyone who discovers the Savior, there'll be people who will go throughout this life who will not discover Christ. They will discover everything but Christ. And yet it will avail them nothing when this life is over. Man who discovers Christ will discover the Lamb of God. Notice what John says in John 1:29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming, and what does he say? He says, behold, the Lamb of God,
which taketh away the sin of the world.
So that must have been a wonderful privilege to understand that the one that you've discovered is the one that God has appointed as the Lamb of God that is going to be for the purpose of taking away man's sin. When you find Jesus, you find every need. You find the very Prince of Peace, according to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. Among those wonderful titles, that he was the mighty God and he was the counselor and all of these things. Yet the Bible says he is the Prince of Peace. And Paul says he made both one when recognizing that he is the Prince of Peace. Paul said he made both one between Jew and Gentile, tore down the middle wall of partition between them, and in chapter 2:16, reconciled them unto God. He is the Prince of Peace. Peace is made by his blood. He sent the disciples out with a message of peace, the gospel of peace, in order to unite men, not only one to another, but to unite them to God. He's the Prince of Peace. you find the great physician. Isaiah 61 and verse number 1. Of the many things Jesus would do, the Bible says that he was sent to bind up broken hearts, to mend, if you will, the brokenhearted. He will heal man's sin-sick souls. So that's who Jesus is. And when you find this person, when you find and discover the Savior, you are finding one who's going to be able to put all the pieces back together again, if you will. You're finding the one who's going to be able to cure your heart and cure your soul. You're finding the one who's going to be able to give you a serenity of soul. You are finding the one who's going to be able to soothe that biting conscience. You are finding the one who is going to allow you to live in serenity. You're literally finding the one who's going to be a comfort to you in trouble. One who's going to be able to sustain you through all the difficulties. You're finding the one who's going to bring you to heaven. You're finding the Savior. You're finding the greatest treasure. Matthew 13, 44 through 46. One who finds Jesus is literally finding the pearl of great price. Being able to find entrance into his kingdom. Man's discovery of his Savior is one of life's greatest discovery. I understand we didn't discover gravity. We didn't discover fingerprints. And I know those are great discoveries. We didn't discover electricity and all of those things, but we discovered ourselves. And when we discovered ourselves, we find that we were just like that prodigal son who had left God and left the comforts and confines of a wonderful home. We find that we had not only left God, but we also had gone into the far country of sin. And while we were in that condition, we found that we was in a deplorable state. And finally, we came to ourselves and realized that we had been insane. And like Solomon said, madness was in our hearts. And we returned because we found the Savior who brought us back to God, who just like in the picture of the prodigal son was there waiting for his son with open arms. The thing about seeking this Savior is you must seek him while he may be found. Isaiah 55 and verse number 6. Three great spiritual discoveries. Man must discover himself, but he must also discover his Savior. And then he finally will discover his brother. Look back to John chapter 1 again, and notice verse 41, and this time add 42 as well. How does it read?
He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ.
Now, when they found the Savior, he then goes and finds his brother. Upon finding his brother, he tells them the discovery we made. We found the Messiah. Now, when you think about Andrew's actions, we learn that it is the true nature of religion to desire that others might possess what you found. See, they found the Messiah, but they didn't keep it to themselves. He didn't keep it to himself. He went and found his brother and told him, we found the Messiah. You see, when we find the Savior, we are not to monopolize the Savior. When we find true religion, when we find Christ, when we find Christianity, we are not to hide it under a bushel, but rather seek others that they too might be brought unto the Savior. If you are unwilling to share your religion, you have to ask yourself, what do you really believe? What do you really believe? Because if you truly believe that what you have found is what is going to take us to heaven, why wouldn't you share it? Why wouldn't you want others to have that religion? Why wouldn't you want others, upon finding the Savior, to know the same Savior who you've come to know? Jesus told his disciples to share that gospel. When they found the Savior taught them and then commissioned them out to go and tell others. And so the very nature of religion then is so that we might not only possess it ourselves, but share with others that they might possess it as well. Very nature of finding Christ is that we want others to know Christ as well. Jesus would tell his disciples in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13 that ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? He said, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and they give it light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Even in the Great Commission, Jesus would send his disciples out. He would say, go ye therefore into all the world, Mark 16, verse 15. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Even in Matthew's account in chapter 28, 18, Jesus says, all the power and authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. And when Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy, he would essentially tell him the same thing in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 2. He says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. When we find the Savior, we have found someone to share. We have found his mission. We have found his gospel, and we share that gospel, which is why we have to discover our brothers. Once we discover ourselves and the Savior, we need to find those who want a Savior. There will always be those who refuse to discover themselves. Though you pointed out to them that they have a problem, they will be in denial that they literally have a problem. It's very difficult to convince someone that they have a problem when they tell you they don't have a problem. And I don't have to tell you how difficult that is, because chances are you probably know some folks like that. And if you tell them they have a problem and they insist that they don't have a problem, then you are incapable of helping them. If I tell you you have a smoking problem, you tell me I can quit tomorrow, then there's nothing we can do for you. You tell a person they have a drug problem and they tell you they don't have a drug problem, then until they come to realize it for themselves, there's nothing you can do for them. Telling an individual you have a drinking problem when they insist that they do not have a drinking problem, you tell them you're an alcoholic, they tell you they're not an alcoholic, then I assure you and assure you that you cannot help those individuals. And when you tell an individual that they are lost when they insist that they are saved, I assure you, you cannot help that individual. Because these individuals must come to understand this for themselves. They must come to this realization. They must discover for themselves they have a problem. There will always be those who will not only not realize they don't have a problem, but there will always be those who prefer to go in their own direction and see no problem with their present course. There will always be those who profess that they are saved, even when they are lost. You know what's interesting is that when you actually get down to the brass tacks, you look at the word of God, the word of God is going to determine what we are, whether we know it or not. Look back to Luke 15. Let's just go back there for a moment. Luke 15. Let me show you something quickly. I'll just make that point. You remember what the prodigal did? The prodigal son told his father to give him what was owed him and let him go and take his leave. He took his leave. He went out into the far country. He obviously didn't see a whole lot wrong with what he was doing until it basically got the best of him and he found himself out there eating slop with the pigs. Now, once he got himself in this deplorable state, then he began to realize something. It took all of that for him to realize something. But what I want you to understand is the boy was lost before he realized it, whether he realized it or not. He was still lost. And when his father speaks to the situation, he tells the truth concerning his son's condition, whether his son knew it, realized it, or not. Look at chapter 15 and look at verse number 24.
For this my son was dead.
Now notice how God, the father in the picture, is picturing his son. He says, for this my son was dead. Now this is after the boy finally came to himself. He regained his mind. He was no longer insane. And he turned himself and came back to God. After reflection and after he decided to act, he now comes back to God. Now God is looking at the overall situation when the boy left him in the first place. Did not the Gentiles leave God? Didn't want to retain him in the knowledge? Genesis chapter 1. Did not the scribes and the Pharisees look down and condemn others, even though themselves were in a deplorable condition? And did not some of those people who were even put down by the leaders of the day, were they not still sinful people and were not righteous before God? Absolutely. The fact remained that all were in sin and under sin. And no matter how we look at it, it can show us man's sinful condition in all of these various ways. Well, here this boy is, he's out there, and he may not see anything wrong with it. The same way your child might leave the wonderful confines of your home, go out there living with folks, doing all kinds of things, and don't see any problem with it. But the fact still remains you in sin. The fact still remains that you have a problem. The fact still remains that you are estranged from God. The fact still remains you have lost your mind. That's the fact. And God says of his son, this my son was
dead.
Come on, read.
And is alive again.
How is he alive again? And why? Because he's come back to the Father. He's come back home. Now read, if you will.
He was lost. And is found.
He obviously didn't think that when he left. Look down to verse number 32.
It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead.
Thy brother was dead.
Is alive again.
He was what?
And he was lost.
He was lost.
And is found.
And is found. There will always be those who profess that they are saved, even though they are lost. Now, how successful are you getting people to understand their need for the Savior when they think they already have it? Very difficult, isn't it? How successful are you telling people in denominations that they are lost when they feel they are and believe they are saved? Very difficult. You see then why this is a discovery you must make for yourself. We can point it out to you. We can show you the direction. We can plead with you. We can try to get you to understand it. But until you discover it, I'm talking about three great spiritual discoveries that you need to discover in your own life. And if you don't discover these things, you're going to have a problem. If you don't discover your sinful condition, there's nothing you will do about it. If you don't discover your Savior, then there's nothing that can be done about it. And if you don't discover your brother, then you're displeasing the God who thought that you ought to share what you have learned and what you have discovered, because he wants all men to be saved. And so everyone who understands as they come to Christ must be willing to go out and find their brother and say, here is the gospel. Here is the Savior. We have found him. And that's why Andrew went and got his brother. That's why he went and got him. He made a wonderful discovery. He discovered Christ. We must find those who want a Savior so that they can discover them for themselves that their lost condition. And having found the Savior, go and tell others as well. Let me show you this in the life of the Samaritan woman, and the sermon is yours. Look at John chapter 4. Samaritan woman, upon discovering the Savior in her situation, went and told others who also needed Christ. Jesus, though, is kind of directing the way for her. First thing he does is he helps her to discover herself. Look at verse number 15, if you will. Jesus, hold on, I just want you to know, Jesus is going to walk her through these steps. Now, the first thing he's going to help her to appreciate is that she needs to discover herself. Come on, read.
Woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw.
Now she wants that water that Jesus is talking about. He's standing there with Jacob at Jacob's well, and he's talking about the water she's drawing. And then he starts to talk to her about this concept of a living water, a water that you can partake of that will never allow you to thirst again. Obviously, Jesus is talking in a spiritual sense. And so, but before she can receive this water, notice what he does. Come on, read.
Jesus said unto her, go.
Go call your husband and then come here. Come on.
The woman answered and said, I have no husband.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband.
That's right.
For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband.
Boy, folks just wouldn't have liked Jesus, would he? Just gets right to the point. To the brass tacks of it all, where we stumble and fumble to tell people about their situations. Jesus just simply told this woman, let me help you to appreciate something. Where's your husband? Go get him. And boy, that made her kind of take an introspective look, right? She like, okay, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you're right. But you got one at home. But you'd have five of them. That's not yours.
Didn't John the Baptist do that to Herod?
Certainly did. He made her discover herself. First, look at yourself. First, see your condition. You want this living water? First, I need to make you understand who you are and where you are. See your own condition. But then notice verse 28, or rather verse 25 and 26. Now that she discovers herself, she needs to discover the Messiah, the Savior. Come on, read.
Woman said unto him,
uh-huh.
I know that the Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
What you say. Now you discover your own condition. You discover that you have need. You discover your situation. And that's what man needs to do. We need to discover ourselves. And once we discover our sinful condition, is a recognition that we can't do anything about it on our own, of ourselves, but that there's something else needed, someone else needed. And that someone else is the Christ. This woman knew about the Messiah that was to come. And Jesus then reveals to her, I that speak to you am he. She is able now to discover or find the Savior. And what does this woman do upon finding herself, finding the Savior, but finds others as well? Look at verse 28 through 30.
The woman then left her water pot,
uh-huh.
and went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him.
Jesus allowed her to discover her own condition and then allowed her to discover him as the Savior and then allowed her to discover her brethren by going out, because sometimes Jesus would even have to tell individuals, don't make him known yet, depending on the circumstances. But Jesus allows her to go on. She goes out, leaves those water pots, goes and tells the whole city, you come here, a man that told me everything ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And those folks came out and they compelled Christ to stay with them. He taught them, and then they said, now we believe, not necessarily because you told us, but because we've heard him now for ourselves. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that the picture? Isn't that what every person needs to discover? So though I may have never discovered electricity, I may never be a part of the next great discovery, whatever that'll be. But I tell you what, we need to be a part of these three great spiritual discoveries. We need to discover ourselves. And most of us, if not all of us in this room this day, have done that. Thank God that we've done that. And we then discovered the Savior. We discovered the one who could help us with our condition. And we're thankful for that. And certainly he has provided for that peace, that serenity of the soul of which we spoke earlier. He is the Prince of Peace. And he's given us so much. He continues to be our God, and he will be with us until the end. He'll see us faithfully even to death's door and bring us to the other side. That's a wonderful Savior. We found him. But now, our discovery is discovering our brother. We can't forget that now that we found the Savior, there are others who need him as well. And we must be willing to go out and tell other folks about this Savior. So don't forget to discover your brethren. As you have opportunity, share that gospel and bring others to the Savior so that they too can participate in this wonderful discovery. If you can manage these things, these three great spiritual discoveries in life, then you will, my friend, have made the most of your mission in life. Three great spiritual discoveries. If you're here tonight, we hope that we've helped you. And we hope that if you have not made that final discovery in discovering the Christ for your Savior, that you will do that, that you will believe in him, repent of your sins, confess his sweet name, to be immersed in water for the remission or removal of your sins, to be added to his church, being faithful to him, discovering your brethren, and bringing as many as you can to the Savior. Don't forget, there will be those who will tell you they are already saved, but they are lost. There will be those who already are pretty good about the condition, and they will be the very people who will tell you they're fine with the direction in which they're going. But what we must do is never give up. There will always be those who are good and honest hearts who want a Savior, and with them we'll share that gospel. We'll let them come out just like the Samaritan woman. Those folks came out and said, now we believe. Not because you told us, but because we've heard it for ourselves. We bring them to Christ,
bring them to his word, and then let them become convicted based on the word of God. You need to respond. We'll give you an opportunity now as we start to sing the invitation song.
There's a fountain.